look at the 60s and say that the mystic movement, the psychedelic movement, all of that was structured to keep people who would join into that from becoming focused on what the powers that be do not want them focused on, it didn't work. The inherent humanity within society then still went, yeah, I'm digging my buzz, yeah, I'm digging my meditation, I'm having free sex and all that, but you guys are doing something wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I don't understand the Jan Urbans of the world who talk about, oh, the CIA, you know, is behind LSD and the psychedelic subculture. And it's like, without a doubt, the military tried to control LSD. But guess what? They realized they couldn't.
The human nature shown through.
Exactly. So, and that, to me, it always seems like a silly. I mean, it's not to say that there's no point to pointing that out. I'm just saying, just because someone tried to control something doesn't mean they're successful.
Yeah,
well, you could say the same thing about the internet, couldn't you?
Yeah,
exactly. It's almost like Pandora's box, isn't it? Yeah, you know, they opened the through like Sandoz and Alfred Hoffman making the substance. You know, maybe under the auspicious, under direction from the CIA, that was let out into the world, and then people were just synthesizing it to create their own. So it may well have been an idea to co-opt the psychedelic '60s counterculture, but the people made it its own.
Yeah,
you know, all.
They have a certain target in mind, but it doesn't always go the way they wish it would. And inherent humanity and the nature of creation will always win out over any plan you try to put over the top of it.
It's pretty ironic.
Yeah,
that...
I just want to mention, Alan, whilst
yeah,
on
that's
this,
what I don't
Jan mean. Irvin, your little... The latest always records. How you noticed that he chopped 18 minutes of your interview out? And you noticed that Richard Nixon chopped 18 minutes of his interview, or the Watergate tapes. I thought that was amazing.
Youngate.
Yeah.
Isn't Abby Hoffman kind of
well done.
Ironic that like Albert Hoffman invented LSD and that the CIA tried to use LSD towards a particular end because of when they used it on soldiers, you know, they were climbing trees and shit and weren't really focused. So they're like, oh, give this to the public, you know, as a means of control. And yet it was Abby Hoffman who was one of the main people who turned it around on them. And so, you know, like sticking the flowers into the guns when they surrounded the Pentagon, you know, that he was the one. I'm sure that he was not planned for by the CIA. He was not something that they really appreciated, I'm sure, you know. If you watch,
What about the synchronicity of the day Hoffman made or discovered LSD? I think it was November the 16th. A few years later, on that same day, Terence McKenna was born.
Oh, I never heard that one.
Yeah. I never heard that either. That's
weird. I know that the day that LSD was discovered, which was April 19th, you know, was the same day that the Jewish ghetto was, you know, when the Nazis actually went in. It was on the Sabbath that they went in.
Well, April the 19th comes up loads, doesn't it? Yeah, Waco, Columbine,
Oklahoma. Is actually April 20th or April? No, it is April 19th.
Yeah. Oh my God, really? Because okay, so fuck. That's big. So the when Columbine was happening, that was when the MK Ultra trials actually took place. When they were put all the CIA guys on the stand, which because of Columbine,
that's right, yeah.
Got absolutely no coverage because
no coverage at all, yeah,
at all because of Columbine. When then we're talking about Columbine, it's Column, it's Columbia, it's fucking Ghostbusters. The
Dove. Yeah. Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, straight up, literally.
You know, I came across something odd the other day. Somebody, I can't call who it was, trying to posit that Harris and Cole are now known to us as the ones who created South Park. What?
Excuse me?
Yeah, I don't
know. Someone positing that Harris and Klebold, the media perceived, you know, boys who carried out Columbine, mm-hmm. are now the guys behind South Park. I thought,
oh,
well, Matt Stone's a film, Michael Mermaid, wasn't he?
Bowling for Columbine.
Well, yeah.
He is, yeah, because isn't he from that town? That
yeah, he's from, he went to that school, he went to that high school, yeah. God, that's weird.
But see, how could that, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, well, that's a clever little idea. But pictures of Cleveland and Harris.
And today...
Those aren't the guys, are they? I mean, come on.
Isn't today the first year of commercial Hook last year?
Today?
Is that again, Nick? Sorry?
Oh, isn't it a year today since Sandy Hook?
Oh, is it?
Is it today? Really? I thought it was like 2 years ago.
Huh. I mean, that's like, talk about Saudi is not the star with Sandy Hook. That's kind of weird. I just wanted to mention how interesting it is talking about earlier some things got said, and it was reminding me that, you know, Yeheshua, if you spell out Jesus in Hebrew, is literally Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh with a shin in the center, and that shin is representative of, you know, the judgment card in tarot, which visualizes the three coffins with the dead rising from the graves, which is referencing that verse from Isaiah that I was talking about and what they were talking about in Ghostbusters of the dead rising from the graves. And literally that's the fang, that's canine tooth. And so like if you add K9, like 11 plus 9, you get the judgment card 21 in tarot. And how funny it is that Batman, like even the symbol for Batman is taken as canine teeth. By Robert Anton Wilson, and how there's all the vampire symbolism in the original Tim Burton's Batman, where they're saying, I heard he sucks blood and all this stuff, and how that seems to be what's being communicated, with Batman, even with Wayne Enterprises being a big W, you know, being the equivalent of Shin as a canine. I don't know, I find that really interesting, in that it's the canine in the World Trade Center was named Sirius, you know, about the canine and all of that, that they did this huge kind of elaborate memorial for this dog named Sirius in relationship to the two towers, which ties in so nicely with the moon card in tarot having Sirius represented by Anubis in front of the two towers, and how that's displayed in Ghostbusters blatantly, you know, with the two sphinxes.
Yeah, and
Doctor Who's his dog was called K-9.
And also the two in the moon card.
Yes,
you have the two dogs, but you also have the towers with the path leading to. But you also have a crab or a crustacean coming from the water below it. Well, if you stand by South Street, which is all the seafood has landed in Manhattan, it is precisely in between where the two towers used to be, as it would be with the moon card.
Huh. And then, you know, when you take the Crowley card of the sun and overlay it with 50-50 transparency over the moon card, you get in the sun card, you have the crustacean of Cancer being at the base where out of the Piscinian waters emerges the crab. It actually lays out in the same placement that it does in the rider deck. A little confusing, but that feels like if there was any indicator that you're supposed to do that with the cards, it's very blatant the way that it appears, because Cancer is literally at the base. If you consider, you know, in Ghostbusters that they have this whole smoking theme of what they're communicating with smoking, it's like the Cancer you know, smoking causes cancer. It's cancer at the base between the two pillars. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a little complex.
You know,
it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Thomas, you just made me realize that because there's the movie Wiz, this like Jack and Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, the movie. Of Wizard of Oz, yeah.
And in it, they have the bridge as the yellow brick road leading to Oz, which is the World Trade Center. Well, it's literally the two pillars with the word Oz in the center. It's very, very explicit. On the moon card, in the Rider-Waite version of the moon card, don't they paint that whole path yellow in where the, where
yes.
the crustacean is going? It's like the yellow,
it's yellow
brick road. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you couldn't get
yep,
any more
it's yellow.
Blatant.
Yep.
Huh.
Huh.
What a trip. And so, in between...
A good project to do would be to locate the 22 cards of the Major Arcana on Manhattan. I believe you could probably do it.
I have tried finding out... So this was something... if you consider that the island is kind of like a Kabbalistic way of life, and
yep.
what I was trying to consider is where would the different spheres be? And what this actually started with me trying to figure out where would you consider the World Trade Center to be. And what I started, of course, thinking that the North was the top, but it made more sense after I kind of flipped the whole thing upside down, and you could kind of see the World Trade Center as of Gevorah, or this sort of judgment center, things like that, especially considering what some of what Dave was talking about, the Shin, and how the Shin is so prevalent in any of these King Kill motifs and things like that. So that's something I have explored. I think if you were to do that, a way to maybe validate it would be to consider the tarot cards that are the paths between them and see if it still applies.
Eon,
I'd love to work on that.
It's Eon Spangler, by the way. I know it's Egon, but it seems to be a play on Eon, and Eon is Shin.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there's something to be said for the fact that Shin itself is supposed to represent the tree itself as the three columns. So you have the two columns,
right.
And then the third, which is the pentagram, is represented
Columbine.
Yeah, exactly.
Columbine, got it, yeah.
Because you combine the columns. And then the fact that it's followed by Taz, you know, immediately afterwards, and the way that that's positioned on the Tree of Life is that they say that the three pathways connecting Malkuth, which is the Shekinah in exile, how she connects to the tree is literally through a Shin. Those three pathways are also supposed to be the basis for the rest of the pillars. And so the cross that emerges from the Tree of Life is the result of dividing up the Star of David to express the tree, communicates the cross. And so the Tav cross is the result of this split Adam.
Columbine is also a five-pointed star flower. It's a flower whose petals make like a five-pointed star.
In the Nutcracker, a columbine is also it's robotic toy children. It's actually really creepy.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
If you've ever seen it, there these winded up children that are forced to dance, and it's two of them are forced to work out these mechanisms. And when they're done, almost like Swami was saying with the chess pieces, when they're done, they put them back in the box and they're okay. Well, if you consider those Columbine kids as these two wind up controlled children, and when they're done, you put them in a box and bury them in the ground, and they've outlived their usefulness.
Maybe that's what happened with them too. Them mind controlled, triggered, and then in a box.
A friend Neil Kramer's got a theory that it was more than one of these people that they were, you know, all brought to life at the same time. Neil Kramer, well, he was saying that there was many.
Sorry, I'm
a Columbine. Columbine shootings.
Oh, right.
There was multiple shooters.
Yeah.
Sorry. Huh. Whoa. I'm having my mind blown.
I was just looking at some Ghostbusters there on Google, and it came up with Ghostbusters 2, but it isn't, is it? It's I, 11, like Ghostbusters 11.
And what is, he's making the two-fingered victory sign, which is your Jupiter finger and your Saturn finger. So if you consider the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction, Jupiter overthrows his father Saturn. This is one of the original kill archetypes. And fame for using that would be Richard Nixon, right? He does the two-finger victory sign. And he, it's a bit hard to explain, but basically, even though he's not an assassinated president, he's the only president to really, like, be impeached, on the sort of stuff that he's basically a taken down king.
Yeah.
And I was, you mentioned what I did last week with last week's Always Record. Here we have Watergate or the Stargate. To me, these are almost interchangeable, that even though the Aquarian 60s, they were hoping everyone to ascend to this higher plane and go through this 2001 Space Odyssey Stargate and become star children. That never happened, but what they did get was a Watergate that took down the Crooked King.
Yeah, well. Do you know that Winston Churchill, Prime Minister over here, did also that sign?
Yes.
Allegedly, that was taught to him by Crowley.
Yeah, that's the story.
I've heard that theory, yeah.
I've never heard that theory.
Yeah.
Speak Columba, there's an eye defect called a Columba, which is spelled Columba, and it's what Madeleine McCann had in her eye. You know, they said the little girl went missing, and the eye was had this defect in it, and there was posters up all over the place and looking to my eye. I was looking up the etymology of a Columba, to see if it was any way rooted with Columba or Columbia or Columbine. And it actually means, it comes from the Greek, and it actually means to remove through mutilation.
Whoa.
To remove through mutilation?
By mutilation. Removed by mutilation.
Whoa. Oh, wow. So, you have this idea of the tearing out of the eyes, both the Oedipus story or the Egyptian motifs of the torn out eyes.
Yeah. Wow. I was just thinking that because of the
Madeleine McCann story stinks to high heaven.
Oh, God.
You know, so and for all the political connections and everything.
No longer have the ability to see the
truth. I'm just looking at
eyes wide shut.
Yeah, eyes wide shut, yeah. I'm just looking at Columbus Avenue passes by Central Park, does it not?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a symbolic name. There. That was not his name, you know. Neither Christopher nor Columbus. It literally is Christ the Dove. So that he's symbolic of the dove from Noah's Ark going out to seek the dry land. And so the dove that comes back with the olive branch, it's why we have the olive branches on the dollar bill. You know, there's 13 olive branches. So that, and which is literally peace, which is the dove. So it's all that way for a reason.
And he didn't really discover it because there was loads of people there when he got there.
No shit. We all know this.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? Columbus was given the maps by the, you know, the
Queen of Spain.
He was married. His wife was the daughter of, like, the top Freemason or Knights Templar in Spain.
Yeah, it was his brother-in-law, actually. They found a map that his brother-in-law actually drew before he ever came here and discovered everything by accident, where it shows the Americas very, like, overtly. It's like a map of the world before he ever came here. And that's, like, documented. And the fact that they don't teach that in school, I don't fucking get. You know, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, we know this.
Columbus's discovery of America was a symbolic esoteric discovery. It had nothing to do with seafaring or navigation or geography. It was purely, when they say, you know, 1492, sailed the ocean blue, even that little poem, this seems like so, that they're hinting at something that's definitely to do with esoteric things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be interesting to know that number.
It was given to the Spanish by the Pope.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right. They had all the mass.
As if the Pope had any authority to do so.
Yeah.
You know, that was behind the whole overtaking of the Western world. It was given by the to the heads of Spain. Like, here, go get it. Go bring us back the goods. You know, go pick up the gold and such. And, you know,
yeah, the Ottomans and the Arabs had complex maps of the world already. I mean, it was just so ridiculous, this idea that he didn't know where he was going and he was going to sail off the edge of the world. Ridiculous.
And completely opposite from India.
Yeah.
So why say Indians? You know what I mean? How that's supposed to work out. What? You mean they don't know left, right? I mean...
And again, like...
American, right, to go to India.
And this symbolic thing of the island off the coast of America, Columbus didn't even land on the mainland of the United States, just like the Statue of Liberty is not on the mainland of the United States, just like Ellis Island is not on the mainland of the United States, just like JFK Airport isn't on the mainland of the United States. There just seems this whole thing that
and Washington D.C.
not actually on the land of America.
And Washington D.C. isn't classed as any part of America. It's Washington District of the Dove, isn't it? Of Columbine.
City state.
Built on a swamp for reasons we don't know. The worst place in the world they could build a city, they built it there with no industrial or any other reason to do it.
And there's the book by Francis Bacon, and The New Atlantis. How America is supposed to be the New Atlantis.
Yeah.
Well, there's a theory, isn't it, that when Atlantis was sinking, half of them went left and the other half right. And one was he, another one was America.
There's a great, the Manly P. Hall book, The Secret Destiny of America, lays it out really, really well. If our listeners want to pursue more information on that, that's the one.
Yeah. Well, we recommend Manly P. Hall.
Yeah.
Quite vehemently.
The peeps are out there.
And there's also good MP3s as well.
Don't automatically lump Manly P. Hall in with Freemasons, because he was an honorary Freemason.
Well, he wasn't a Freemason until he was about 70, though, was he?
Well, but there was association with him because he had knowledge. So they tried to, you know how they do. I mean, these people have no creative ability. All they can do is and lay their crap on top of truth. In a way where they try to steer understanding of archetypes and natural processes of awakening and understanding into the directions that serve their purposes. That's why there's a division between the York Rite and the Scottish Rite. You know, I mean, the original Freemasonry was one yoga. But then the Scottish Rite came along, and then the original Freemasons were like, oh, well, let's just tear this apart. These some bitches are coming along and screwing everything.
Sounds like a good book, Alan, eh?
Right?
Yeah, I'd like to read that one. let's take a few minutes and let's mention, Swami, you mentioned earlier, I don't know if it was part of the recording, but you mentioned...
I did record it, actually, because I thought it was, I'm a good friend.
Let's mention it anyway again.
Yeah, exactly. We got a book coming out probably in the next few weeks. Called The Yogic Gospel of Thomas, which explores some of the origins of the Jesus character and from the perspective of Swami's yogic tradition. We also, right after that, kind of jumping into a book with Frater X, who just told me he's on the last chapter right now and he's going to send it to me. For this secret, the secret war inside Freemasonry,
which is done by another one contributor called Dan,
Dan Wish. Yep. I don't know. I assume that's how you pronounce his last name. Have you seen it? It's gorgeous.
It's amazing. Gorgeous. Yeah. Well, Dan comes. He lives local to us, and he joins.
Yeah, he's our friend.
I've only spoken to him through email, but what an amazing artist.
Amazing guy as well. He's
really
a fabulous guy. Yeah, and it's really good. Because we've asked somebody called Jason Brewer, Justin Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. He's doing artwork for their album.
Oh, is he?
Whose album?
They're called Hollow Moon.
Oh wow, awesome, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, that was an interesting story with him. I lent him the Sync book to read, and he works in a used bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
He was reading it.
This is our friend who's in Hollow
Moon. He was reading the Sync book in his bookstore, and he put it down to serve a customer. And he else came in and bought it as a used book. So we had to buy another one. And I've lent that to someone who disappeared with it as well, so...
Who's got that one?
Blue Green.
Oh, right, yeah.
We stayed over at Justin Morgan's house during the summit, me and Alan and a bunch of people. And he had shown us in the morning his website that he just put together for Eminem. I guess Eminem's new album came out, and he was arranging the stuff there. I was very impressed with the work that he's doing. He's definitely a busy guy.
Yeah, well, he and Mark Golding are cooking something up as well at the moment.
Oh, really?
A collab. Yeah, apparently. He's apparently in contact quite a bit because, you know, it's really weird how I met Mark Golding. He was talking about doing the Miles for Sync Book 2. And I was sitting next to him listening to him telling, I didn't even put two and two together, and it wasn't until Alan was on the last time talking when Sync Book 2 was being released, he mentioned it, and I was going, shit, that was that guy I was sitting next to. And now we're friends, it's amazing. So the world of Sync is really...
It's really thinking.
The physical realm. It's real and it's reaching the physical realms. Yeah.
And so,
Book 2 is... I feel you guys have such a nice hotbed that you all were so close to each other. I have to get my ass over there and see everybody.
Oh, mate, well, your room is ready. Yeah, we'll be here. And you, David, yeah.
Come to Narnia.
Yeah.
Did you say come to Narnia?
This is that's where we live, basically, yeah. We live, Fatshit and I live about a mile from where the rabbit hole that Lewis Carroll sort of envisaged.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. It's on the seafront of Brighton, and we'll take you there when you come.
Just near his house.
So,
100 Acre Wood is not too far away. The Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh.
Stories.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
I had found recently that Carroll first told his story on something that's called the Isis River. Do you know, is that you?
Don't know.
I haven't heard
of Seven Sisters. So,
maybe it's an earlier name for it because you're talking about Sirius, and apparently the first time that Lewis Carroll told the story was on July 4th, which is the day. It's this sort of very important day for Sirius. He tells the story on a boat on the Isis River, which I was associated with Sirius because if Orion was considered Osiris, the three stars in the belt point to Sirius. So this was very often associated with Isis. And it just you kind of go from there. You have the Robert Anton Wilson taking into effect the rabbits and the Sirius connections and all these different things. It seems really significant for me that should happen that way. And
it's fucking River Thames, man. Whoa.
Yeah. It's
it
all
feeds
there.
The river. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Is it like a tributary?
It's in London, River Thames.
Well, it runs through Oxfordshire down to the Kent, yeah.
But no, there's the Thames. I'm saying, is the Isis River like an old name for Thames,
yeah,
or it's a
yeah? That's what it's, that's what it's here because it's Thames, Oxford that's showing. So maybe it's a tribute of that river. No, it's the Thames, man. It's the fucking Thames, look. Oh my God!
And the local water authority is called ISIS.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. Well, that would explain why. Yeah. Okay.
So there's a crazy thing with in Alice in Wonderland. You know, you have Alice's teacher is named Helena. You know, and so if you, I love this. If you watch Eyes Wide Shut, and the daughter's name is Helena, and her mother's name is Alice, and the way that that plays out, and then Nicole Kidman is in Rabbit Hole. You know, which I take Rabbit Hole to be like an like a parallel universe of Eyes Wide Shut, where she instead of her like in Eyes Wide Shut, you know, it starts out with her daughter on Christmas morning, and her, she's studying just like at the beginning of Alice in Wonderland. Alice is studying with Helena. It's kind of a role reversal, but if you watch the film Rabbit Hole, it's all about parallel universes. And so you could take it as, like, in this other one, she had lost her child. And so it's showing that Alice, in this case, even though she's in a parallel universe, she's in the exact same state. Because the Nicole Kidman in Eyes Wide Shut is very depressed, even though she has all of these things. She has the perfection of the husband and her child and everything, and yet something's still missing. And in the same way with Rabbit Hole, it's like she's lost her child. And so it's just, it's showing however you slice the pizza, she's still going to be having the same experience because her destiny is her destiny. Kind of interesting.
So I've just, on Wikipedia, it says that the ice runs through Oxford.
So that'll be a tributary to Thames.
Yeah.
Is it a joke on Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey? Because she took over, like, she made a sub-facet, or whatever you want to call it, of the Theosophical Society, is the Lucis Trust. So it's an offshoot. And so there's kind of this idea that, of course, it's her teacher, and it's all about studying, you know?
Yeah. And just to bust in, the ice river is the name for the Thames that's in Oxford. So it's kind of the start of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
And then further down in... the Thames, near the temple, you've got the Cleopatra's Needle.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, there's all sorts on the Thames, man. The River of Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got the hanging. You've
got the Tower of London, where they used to chop people's heads
off. Oh, shit. The tower where
Dr. Parnassus, where he's hanging underneath the Thames.
Oh, along the Thames.
Along the Thames. Yeah.
That's where that is?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that fits in really nicely.
Blackfriars, the guy who was going to get the secrets of the Vatican Bank away.
Thomas was telling us how this area is not long ago.
Huh. Hey, you guys know that in Dr. Parnassus, what's on Heath Ledger's head is actually the symbol for the risen Osiris?
Yeah.
You guys knew all of that, probably.
Well, so you...
You know, if you look down... back to the moon card again. If you look down the Thames towards Tower Bridge, you see, obviously, the two towers.
Yeah.
The vantage point of the Isle of Dogs.
Serious.
Wow, that's...
Serious on the ISIS. Oh, my goodness.
It's serious, isn't it?
So, Alan, what were you originally saying about Lewis Carroll?
Oh, it just that even his original telling of it. Now, again, this could be a made-up story, but I've connected so many things through Alice in Wonderland and Sirius that whenever there's a really significant Sirius event, Sirius resonating event, there's also this Alice in Wonderland angle. And a lot of the more conspiracy-minded alternative researchers are saying this is, if you Alice Wonderland, then it's MKUltra and stuff like that, which in some cases could be true. But I think when I realized that this story, again, this is a true story, that if Lewis Carroll first told his Alice Wonderland story on July 4th on the ISIS River, this would make more sense why these symbols are intertwined. And again, that could be a made-up story,
you know, someone with esoteric knowledge could have made up the story that this is the first time it was told and blah, blah, blah. So that's also a possibility. I'm just saying, when I came across this information, I was sitting in a book. It was only within the last year. I was in a book in the library, and I was looking through something about, like, the history of, I don't even remember. And I'm flipping through this book, read this one paragraph, and I'm like, are you kidding me? And I run home, and I start go online, and I start researching it. And yeah, that's the story. So, I don't know. It seems really, really significant for me.
Yeah. Well, we're all down the rabbit hole after all, are we not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's very interesting. I mean, Mark Golding pointed this out to me, because there is a blue, where we have houses in England or Britain, we have blue plaques on them. One famous lived there, and there is actually a blue plaque where Lewis Carroll wrote Alice in Wonderland.
And up that road is where Howard Marks used to live as well.
Really, really, just the road, just along the road, really.
Yeah. Howard Marks.
Howard Marks. He's a big smuggler.
And the road is where Cate Blanchett used to live.
Oh no.
Oh, really?
I have no other place to point this out. So, we mentioned earlier, I have this post from about a year ago on my blog from a year ago. Again, it was, shit, I could probably find it here real quick. June 2012. It's called Great Gig in the Sky, Part 4, Age of Apocalypse. And in it, I'm connecting the Olympic torch ceremony in Wales to what I perceived as a ritual happening where SpaceX sent the Dragon up to the International Space Station, because you have the Dragon being the symbol of Wales, and you have the International Space Station being a symbol of ISIS, ISS, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Dragon sort of meeting with ISIS and all this sort of stuff, and I lay out over a 5-part series of articles, lay out all the connections between ISIS and the Olympic torch, and that there was, it seemed to me like a very explicit thing. Well, I think just in the last few weeks, they literally took the Olympic torch up to the International Space Station.
Space Station,
yes, yeah.
And when that happened, I mean, for one, I felt incredibly validated. But the other thing is that it sort of like was a little blink on the news there, and I was like, that's huge. That's really huge.
Why did that?
Well, in Los Angeles.
And they also, after that, took it under the ocean as well.
I beg your pardon.
Was this the Olympic torch? Commonwealth that's going on at the moment.
They're
going
to stick it up someone's arse in a minute.
Get ready for this one. Oxford, right? Oxford, the etymology of Oxford is literally means the crossing of the bridge, ford meaning bridge. Oxford is also, as you said, connected to ISIS. That's what that's what the Thames is called at that point. The Egyptian bull god is Apis. And it is the intermediary or bridge between humans and the all-powerful god Osiris.
Wow.
And what's Oxford? Famous for universities between humans, the bridge between humans and the all-powerful god Osiris.
Wow!
MI5,
the crossing of the ox.
Is an ox not a type of bull as well?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, the ox actually, as a pictograph, corresponds to Aleph, which is literally taken to be a crossing of streams. If you look at the letter Aleph, it kind of appears as an X in a sense, but it's got two yuds on both sides of a line. They're literally crossing. It's like crossing a stream.
There you go.
Because right now I'm involved in an online course on the Bhagavad Gita through the Oxford University Center for Hindu Studies.
Well, when you mentioned earlier, you wrote in the Skype chat that the Isis River runs through Oxford. That was my first thought, was the Apis bull, because Apis at one point was his own god. And then at some point after Osiris, this happens over time, there's a sort of syncretism where they take the two gods and put them together. And this is why the Apis is gets associated. So you have this idea that the spirit or the ka of Apis gets integrated into Osiris. And I was thinking this at when you wrote that, and I was like, oh, should I mention that or whatever? Well, since you mentioned it, I will point out that if you're thinking of Manhattan as Osiris's phallus, what is right across the river but New Jersey? And Jersey is also the name of a bull.
And the river, you know, we have Oxford, right? And we have the other town, Cambridge. Cambridge is the bridge across the River Cam. The bridge was originally, let me see, the bridge across it was designed, now another bridge to heaven, was built by, there's a wooden bridge at the university built by Sir Isaac Newton. It's actually a very amazing looking bridge to show mathematically that God wasn't required. He was the first great sort of like materialist atheist. So you had the Oxford Bridge, the Cambridge Bridge, and I read recently something amazing. There's a new theory out that when William Blake spoke about the dark satanic mills, he was talking about Oxford and Cambridge.
Right, I've heard that.
Yeah,
Jerusalem on so England's like, green and soil or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, and they renamed Cam the River Cam much later on. Its original name was the Gretna.
All right. It's funny as well, when they talk about people who go to the best universities over here, they talk about Oxbridge people, don't they?
Oxbridge. Mm. And then you have Henley Rata with like the race between the two of them on the river.
Yeah.
And what is anything going on with
Henley? No, that's on the Thames, Thomas. That's on the Oxford Cambridge race.
But
it starts in ice. Oh my God. Henley. Which sizes?
Yeah, and I want to see what Henley is. This is just, I think we've just tapped into something here.
So in Lady Gaga's Art Pop, she has this whole Venus theme, obviously, but in the film Venus and Furs that it goes in sync with, there's a section of it which is all about the iron ox. So here's a quotation. It says, "Dangerous forces lie within me," said Wanda, after we had gone a few steps further. "You awaken them, and not to your advantage. You know how to paint pleasure, cruelty, arrogance, and glowing colors. What would you say should I try my hand at them and make you the first object of my experiments? I would be like Dionysus, who had the inventor of the iron ox roasted within it in order to see whether his wails and groans really resembled the bellowing of an ox." And so they have this whole thing of the inventor of this iron ox as an instrument of torture. And so the person presents the iron ox of, look at this thing I made for torture. And then it's presented that you will get put inside this instrument yourself and be tortured within the iron ox. So the inventor gets to be the first one to show how his invention will work. So somebody who comes, with this intention to do harm ends up being the first one to experience the harm himself. And that's like really like a central theme of Venus and Furs. Just putting it out there because it feels kind of relevant.
We're going to have to watch this, aren't we?
We are.
And suffer Lady Gaga. Yeah.
It's actually, it puts it into an entirely different context.
So well, no, David, I trust you because I've watched stuff you've recommended before and it's been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I would just make a video and make it more easily accessible to people on Vimeo, but I'm afraid that if I put a whole Lady Gaga album, especially one that just came out, all my videos will probably get removed really quickly because it calls attention. You know, it's well worth it. And you know, you get to see, like, I mean, I honestly feel that it's intentional because it's so perfect. It actually reaches that crescendo point where you're like, okay, what the fuck? It's all the nuances. But there's definitely something that's being conveyed there that's of significance.
Is it as good as Rosemary's White Album, baby?
Yeah, which I've been thinking a lot about in this conversation with Ghostbusters, the fact that the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man walks right in front of the Dakota, you know, and the fact that...
Really? Oh my goodness.
And that it's the baby, it's a giant baby, and that in Ghostbusters 2, you have the baby is wanting to be sacrificed, so it's Sigourney Weaver's baby that they're bringing to that, the painting of that guy, you know. Yeah.
I was thinking of before when we were talking about Alan was talking about the ray of light, that it might be interesting to listen to Madonna's Ray of Light with Ghostbusters.
Oh. It was really funny on the actual Always Record when you and Andras and Bill and Alan talked about that, and Andras asked about what would sync over Citizen Kane, and very specifically, Alan, I thought about the Big Time trilogy from Tom Waits, you know, Swordfish Trombone, Swordfish Trombone, Rain Dogs, and Frank's Wild Jails, because he thought about, you know, what would be long enough to go with that film.
Another one, actually, we thought of that would might be a good sync was with Fight Club, to listen to it with the Pixies soundtrack. Which album was it? I can't remember.
Doolittle.
The one that has Where Is My Mind?
Yeah, well, let's say he wrote it to Surfer Rosa.
Yeah, we'll listen to it with Surfer Rosa in the background, or playing over it then. Yeah, because when he was in Surfer Rosa, the guy who wrote the screenplay for it.
Huh.
No, the guy who wrote the novel to it.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
And
who
when
wrote
the
novel?
Came out, he suggested that they use Where Is My Mind.
Okay.
That's a great idea. Yeah, because that's definitely, even if it's not intentionally that you would have the movies would align, there's some sort of energetic that's encoded in the artwork itself.
Well, David points out the Zodorowsky and Marlon Manson connections, they actually know each other. So the Hollywood, Holy Mountain one?
Yes.
Which is brilliant, David. It's absolutely brilliant. I love
you
it.
Watch that?
Yeah.
Cool.
I got as far before the kids came in and had to turn it off because there's a few scenes in it, isn't there?
Oh, there is, yeah. It's very, very, very challenging for some people.
Yep, considering Holy Mountain here for a moment, before David was talking about Shin being the tarot card or judgment, it's kind of a silly thing, but it's something I come back to. You guys mentioned before that you were big Neil Young fans. Are you familiar with the Neil Young song called Sugar Mountain?
Oh, yeah.
And he's...
Sugar Mountain.
Right. He sings... You can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain. Right, yeah. And if 20 is the card of judgment, it's to say if you want to reach the top of the mountain, you can't be gentle. You can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain.
Huh.
Yeah, because the official version he gives of that is a youth club. Sugar Mountain was a youth club in where he grew up. And when you reach a certain age, you're not looking anymore and there's nothing else to do in that town.
Right. No, I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure it's not intentional.
Yeah, sure, but
but it works for what we're communicating. A lot of this is just meant to be, it's an artistic way of relating to material. But then every so often when you're following those chains, you come across something that's just like unexplainable. Like it's like the correspondences lead somewhere and then something actually comes of it that's like, holy
fuck. I like the idea of the creative part. Where you're making something new and something more meaningful than the original sort of artwork was, therefore it's organic and growing.
There's a thing in the Gemara where Moses is talking to a Kabbalist, and the Kabbalist is saying all these things that he saw in the Torah, and Moses is all, huh, I didn't think about that. It's like, you know, but that's the genius of it, is that there's more to it than the person who put it forth could even have realized, and that's the nature of something that's like channeled. So, like, you know, you can always take a work that didn't necessarily have these intentions, but those intentions are there on some level beyond the creator, you know.
Mm.
David, you were saying something about Dakota. What was that?
The Dakota building is actually, you know, where they filmed Rosemary's Baby. And where John Lennon was shot on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception appears in Ghostbusters with the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man walks right in front of it.
Right.
So, there's a reason for that. The reason is that the Dakota is on 72nd Street and Central Park West. So it's actually facing Central Park. We talked about Central Park earlier. We should point out, since we're connecting now Ghostbusters to the Dakota, that the Ghostbusters GB you could switch that to numbers would be 7-2. G is 7 and B is 2.
So you have Ghostbusters being 72. That's the street that the Dakota's on. The building that they used for Ghostbusters is actually, I want to say, like 50 or like 62nd or something. It's like it's within 10-15 blocks along the same road. So you have Central Park West, the street that goes along the west side of Central Park. You have Dakota and the Ghostbusters ritual building are within 10 blocks of each other on that same street.
Huh. I like relating to the Dakota as decoding. So it's like the decoder or something, you know?
Right.
I've, oh, yeah, yeah.
I've had to decode a lot around the Dakota, oddly enough.
Yeah. Well, the reason it just caught my ear, but I was quite sort of with what the conversation was about at that moment, was that the little girl who's in the Golden Compass is called Dakota Blue Richard, and she's got some interesting things going on. Well, the Golden Compass itself is quite an interesting film. And then she did a film called The Secret of Moonacre. I don't know if you've ever seen that one.
I have not.
It's quite a crazy film.
It's a
really out. It's a completely rubbish film and would not have kind of made money at the box office. But it's just absolutely loaded with it. And I can't remember enough of it to really sort of go into detail and talk about it now. But it's an interesting one.
Well, when she's walking by and her shadow changes to a dog, doesn't it?
Is it a dog or a lion?
A lion or a leopard or something. No, it changes from cat to dog, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Very odd.
Just so many odd things in it. And I mean, loads of kind of references that it's called The Secret of Moonacre. But just so many things in it as well that are kind of like might be kind of like saying, Alan, before that a lot of people go down the MK route, and it is full of MK symbols and stuff like that. But it goes beyond that. You know, there are clocks and time and I don't know, kinds of things there. And at the end, it's all to do with the moon, and the moon is coming down, and there's some... I can't remember. It was so long ago that I watched it.
We're talking about a moon child with Rosemary's Baby.
Can I just say something, sir?
Yeah.
That Rosemary's Baby, guys, that was filmed in 1966. 1968. A wild year for stuff.
It was 1968.
It was released in 68, I think. But I think the film began in 66. It was something like... Or it was shot. I saw a documentary recently about it. But 66 anyway, the World Trade Center, groundbreaking. Cornerstone was laid. There was like endless numbers of killings that year. There was lots of massacres. There was a famous one, the University of, I think it was down in Austin in Texas, where a guy got in the tower and shot like 13 people dead. There was England won the World Cup, which is kind of a weird one. East Revolve. I mean, 66 was full of wars. The Black Panthers were founded on October 1st.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you just look at 1966, it just goes on and on. I'll have to check that about. I thought Rosemary's Baby was filmed in 66. You might be right about that.
I believe both the World Trade Center...
But it was 66.
Both the World Trade Center Cornerstone and Rosemary's
Baby are both 66. Groundbreaking ceremony.
Yes, and then the corner
is 68.
So,
how far is the
groundbreaking ceremony? Because that's what it says here. The World Trade Center was August.
You know that scene where Rosemary walks in front of the Time Life building? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's so many people. You know the 111 on the window? You guys ever notice that? So yeah. She walks in front of this window and it says 111, which we know is if you spell out Aleph, the letter Aleph, you get 111, and then that is my prophet is a fool with his 111 in the book of the law, and so fool being Aleph and all of that. But that 9/11 is 111 days left of a regular year. You know that? So that's very significant. And especially because it's Time Life, and then she sees on the cover of Time the Nietzsche quote of God is dead, which came out, the day before Beatles' Revolver came out, which references the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Sure. Through.
Relax and float downstream.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm only sleeping, but there's also what's the last song on Revolver?
Oh, Tomorrow Never Knows.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. So I just want to side check. You had mentioned this idea of understanding that you can have MK Ultra symbolism, but you can also have these unintended things. And to me, it's one of the hardest things. It's one of the things I always try and convey in the work we do, and that I know it never quite works, because people who really want to go from the more academic, you know, Jungian archetypes, they don't want to look at conspiracy stuff. And the conspiracy side never wants to look at the unintentional archetypes. The conspiracy side often will say, no, it's all intentional. The other side, it's all unintentional. And I always find it very... My biggest challenge is to show people that but both is happening, and that you're trying to understand how things work on all levels, and that you can have someone's intentionality and you also have these other things that show. I did for Synchronize episode 1, I started it off with something that I hope does a good job of showing how these things can be broken down in multiple ways and break down something in multiple ways. I also want to point out that you mentioned the Golden Compass, and this may be, I know we're trying to wrap up here. This might be my last sort of thought, and you guys can do what you got to do. I'm just going to read you like one page Golden Compass. It says, I thought I'd set eyes on one of them again. That's a symbol reader. Did he tell you anything about the child? No, only that I'd have to work out how to read it by myself, and he called it an altheometer. What's that mean? It's a Greek word. I reckon it's from Thea, which means truth. It's a truth mirror. You worked how to use it? No. Least I can make 3 shorthands point to different pictures, but I can't do it with the long one. It's all over. Except sometimes, right? Sometimes when I'm sort of concentrating, I can make the long needle go this way or that just by thinking it. What's it do, and how do you read it? All these pictures round the rim... They're symbols, and each one stands for a whole series of things. Take the anchor there. The first meaning of that is hope, because hope holds you fast like an anchor, so you don't give way. The second meaning is steadfastness. The third meaning is snap or prevention. The fourth meaning is the sea, and so on, down to 10, 12, maybe a never-ending series of meanings. And do you know them all? I know some, but to read it fully, I'd need the book. I've seen the book, and I know where it is, but I ain't got it. Well, we'll come back to that. Go on with how you read it. You got 3 hands you can control, and you use them to ask a question. By pointing to 3 symbols, you can ask any question you can imagine, because you've got so many levels of each one. Once you've got your question framed, the other needle swings round and points to more symbols that give you the answer. But how does it know what level you're thinking of when you set the question? Ah, by itself it doesn't. It only works if the questioner holds all the levels in their mind. You got to know all the meanings first, and there must be 1,000 or more. Then you got to be able to hold them in your mind without fretting at it or pushing for an answer, and just watch while the needle wanders. When it's gone round its full range, you'll know what the answer is.
Nice.
Oh, I'm glad you've got that book. His Dark Materials trilogy is excellent. Just one of my most favourite.
Well, we're going to wrap things up now, guys, because we've been here for ages and you've got to go and do stuff. But Alan, can you just give us an indication of when Suicide Kings might be out?
Oh, as soon as Brandon's Yoga Gospel of Thomas book is out, I'm back to writing. I had to put everything on hold basically to do Sync Book 2 and Yoga Gospel of Thomas, but the book proof for Yoga Gospel of Thomas should be coming in the mail tomorrow. So within the next month, that project will be out and in your hands, out of my hands, into all of your hands, and then I'm right back to writing. So my tentative goal, this would be a really hard goal to hit, but I would like to have it for March 17th.
Osiris Day.
Yeah. But probably more realistically would be May 1st. Beltane, yeah. So either of those is really significant dates. I just feel like the May 1st is probably more realistic, but I'm really going to try and shoot for March 17th.
So we'll can't wait to get hands on it and buy it off and read it, and I'm sure it's going
to
be amazing.
And happy birthday to Saint Book Volume 2.
Is that today?
It was last week.
Yeah, last week. Yeah.
What about Saint Book 3?
I won't even talk about Saint Book 3. until my book is done. I had to put it on hold for Sync Book 2 and other people's projects, but until my thing is done, I will not even consider.
You have to love yourself, that. Alan, before you can love others. Yeah.
That's what Ghostbusters taught me. Continue to love myself.
Right.
Well, thank you for tuning into the Ghostbusters edition of Type 1 Radio. Thanks very much to Alan and David and join us again.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, this was a real pleasure. Thank you so much. And good to speak to a bunch of you. And Tom is the first time we've gotten to speak. It's a pleasure to meet you, man.
Yeah. Look up his work, Alan. It's fantastic.
Same here, guys. I've been listening to you for a while, and I've been kind of wanting to chat like this with you, but it was just so interesting tonight. I was trying to want to do is listen. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Listen again, because we're going to be rebroadcasting it.
So was this?
No, it wasn't. That was a sorry.
No, this is not a Floydian. It's going to be like a Christmas, like probably the end Saturday of the month. The Christmas.
Perfect. After you put this out, maybe do you mind? I'll put it up on the Always Record page. We'll put it as like a little cast.
I recorded it, by the way.
Oh, wow,
okay. Excellent, yeah. Type 1 Radio Lounge, Always Record.
Always Record the Lounge.
If you prefer, if you're going to put it up on Blog Talk Radio, what I could do is instead of putting an MP3 on our, I could just link to yours, get the hits and stuff. That doesn't matter to me.
It doesn't matter to us, Al. You can have it. You can...
It's yours.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's just been fun. It's just been really great talking to you guys.
Totally.
Good catching up.
Yeah. As long as I'm here, please let me thank you so much. The seed that I planted by asking Grant, I don't know, Tommy Anantanand here, to write something based on the Gospel of Thomas in the light of our yoga tradition, you have made it up into something that could be rather significant to a number of people, and none of us made this happen without you taking the project on. So on
that's
behalf,
that's a synchronicity in itself.
Yeah.
Oh, just magic.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's been a lot of work, but it's also been a pleasure. And I told Brandon the other day that, you know, I'll be completely honest. When you're working on a project this size, consumes so much of your time. After a while, you kind of start to hate it, you know, and it's like, all right, we've done this for so many months, I'm done with it. But, you know, you kind of start to, but, and you're also very critical because that's the phase it needs to be in. You need to look at it, and every time you look at it, you need to go, what's wrong with this so I fix it now before it goes in other people's hands. So every time you look at it, you're in this very critical mind state, both to make a better book and just be kind of tired of it. And after I finished everything and sent out for the proof the other night, I just started reading the PDF file again that's on my computer. It was just a completely different mindset because now I'm just looking at it, appreciating what we've done. And I just sat there reading the first pages so happy. I was like, oh, so good. And really proud of what he did. He wrote a great book.
He's amazing.
So... I said, just really proud of him, and for the first time in months, to be able to look at it without critical eyes and just appreciate it for what it was. And I was so proud of it. So I think he did a great job.
Well, without you, it couldn't have ever happened. You know, it would have been sat on a peak between he and I and gone any further, any deeper, and you, by adding your energy, your knowledge, and your resources to to this effort have created something none of us on the phone side of things done at all.
Well, if you're gonna say that, we have to include Jason Barrera. Jason Barrera put a ton of effort into this as well.
Excellent.
So he deserves a ton of credit.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Have either of you two guys been approached by Starmie yet? David, I'd love to see you on there.
Oh no, I've never been approached. I'd like to. Yeah.
That would be good. I think your explanations could sometimes do with some pictures for a dumbass like me.
I've often, what I started doing with Always Record, I started linking to some of the images we talk about. If you look at it on the website, I know if you're just listening to like the MP3 on iTunes or something, you obviously don't get that. But if you go to the syncbook.com/always record, I have every time we discuss a specific image or something like a visual reference or an article that would be helpful, I do link to that.
I have done that a couple of times actually.
I hope people take advantage of that.
Hey, could you guys
something?
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say something I've considered. It's a tremendous amount of work, but something I've considered doing is taking our audio and maybe making it into like a putting a slideshow or something on top of it, so that people can.
That's a shitload of work.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You don't have time, mate, so don't.
I know, exactly. It's not a priority, but one day.
Yeah. Hey,
when that Pepsi Cola sponsorship comes through, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's soon, actually. Oh, yeah. We've been talking. Could you guys.
Bill Klaus is in touch with Pepsi. They're going to start sponsoring our show.
Was that David?
Oh, I was just going to ask if you could put a link to my website, which is MK Ultrasound 723, in connection to this. If you put up links, I don't know what you guys do.
Well, I thought you were doing it.
Oh, well, if we do it, then I'll definitely do that.
Yeah, of course we can.
We will do it as well.
Okay.
We'll put it on the blurb.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Alan, could I ask a favor?
Yeah.
Can I PDF your thing book? Because we've got a lot of people coming on, and I don't have.
Sure. Do you have a Kindle or anything like that, like a Kindle reader?
I don't have a Kindle.
Because I have. Okay. Yeah, I don't have a Kindle either. I have a program from my computer that lets you read it. It's just because it's a smaller file that way.
Right.
But if you, the PDF is really big. I'll just have to find a way to like get it to you. Maybe
okay,
I'll put it in like a Dropbox or something. It's no. It's not. I'm just have to put it. Dropbox or something. Really, really big file. So,
maybe I'll just buy another one. It'll be quick.
No.
We've got Joe Alexander coming on in January, hopefully.
Awesome!
Yeah. I've been hanging out with him lately in person. He's on the basketball team in Santa Cruz by coincidence. So he came down for the summit and was like, "Hey, I'm moving to your town." He's literally like three blocks from me.
He is amazing. His
yeah,
it's true.
Chris Lloyd is God.
Yeah.
Do you have a PC or a Mac?
A PC.
PC? Yeah, there's really easy. There's Kindle for PC is a free thing. So if I send you a file, just search Kindle for PC. Okay. It's a free thing.
Oh, and then I got that program. On my
PC. Exactly. And I'll just send that to you.
Awesome. Thank you. It's just for referencing.
No,
we've got Peg Carter probably come back as well.
Awesome. Okay.
I think she was one, and Sybil Hunter also.
Sybil Hunter, yes.
She wants to come on. So, and these are all
great
people, aren't they? So, we're getting through them all.
slowly.
I think the journey started with Kyle Hunt as well.
No, it started with Alan.
Well, it started with Alan, of course, but he the first person on after going through Alan was wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who, synchronously enough, was on with Thomas. Wow.
What's that?
Yes, that show, yeah.
The first time you came on the Type 1 Radio Lounge, Thomas, we had double bill with Kyle Hunt.
Yeah, you came on for the second hour, did you?
An hour with each, yeah.
And it was, very good. Back before Kyle went a bit right.
Yeah, so I was going to say, I actually haven't looked into it, but from what I've heard, Kyle apparently launched some white supremacist website.
Well, yeah, you could.
Is that not true?
He's got a point. You know, he's got sort of the Django one sort of thing going on. I mean, he brings up things, and fair play to him to doing it, but it's not really my cup of tea.
Right.
You know, he does make a fair point, and he has got the balls to stand up and say it about political correctness in general, you know, how it's used as a weapon. I don't necessarily agree with his, you know, Jewish things and stuff like that. I tend to have a more of an open mind that we're all, you know.
I haven't looked into it. That's just I've received a bunch of nasty emails about how could you have this guy in your book after what he did, and I don't care enough to look into what he's doing to confirm or deny whether or not it's something I would support. It's basically, I've made the point many times, these are people who are people and are individuals, and I have no say over what they do. Mm-hmm. So I'm not gonna change the book to take him out of it, but I probably don't agree with what he's saying, but I actually haven't looked into it. So
yeah. What did he say that was so bad?
Well, he's just,
I don't know.
Well,
as I said, I've just gotten a bunch of nasty, nasty emails saying, how could you have this guy in your book after he's done this? And I'm like, well, I don't know what he's done. And honestly, it doesn't reflect on me. If I don't even have time to read articles of things I'm interested
in,
let alone read.
But what is it he's supposed to have done?
What I was told is that it's stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it's not wholly that. It's a bit more complicated than that. He's just making...
I'm sure it's much more complicated than that. Yeah.
He runs Renegade Radio, which basically brings up these issues, which are there to be discussed. You know, they're not to be hidden or shipped away from.
Absolutely, yeah.
So
if that speaks to someone, I really don't know what it is, and if that speaks to someone, great. I unfortunately have had no time to explore the things that I'm really interested in, let alone things that I'm tangentially interested in. So,
okay, so
that's
should
the
we just
sink, Daddy? So,
yeah,
we better wrap things up, guys, because it's getting on. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Yeah, for always recording. That's our plan.
Thank you. Nice.
No, no, no,
everybody.
Thank you, David.
So
if you got to run.
Yeah, I just want to say,
David, if you got to run.
Okay.
Okay.
Take care, Dave.
Say that then. Okay, bye.
One last thing.
Bye.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it was nice to talk to you, Alan, because the last times you were on the show, I used to work nights and I was out working on those evenings, so I didn't actually get a chance to talk to you. So I finally have now.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, for real. Thank you so much.
Yeah, enough ladies and synchronicity.
I did send you an email about that. I don't know if you got it.
I loved your email. As I actually, I was talking about on today's Always Record, unfortunately, I don't have the time to respond to nice emails, so I definitely don't respond to nasty emails, but I do read everything that I get, and your email made me so happy, and I forwarded it to Andras, and he was so happy, too.
Hollywood star.
So, yeah, it was a really, really wonderful email, and so I very much appreciate that. And
right.
Sonic, what I was going to say is this: I didn't mean that I would take this for always. I was saying we could simulcast, like in a sense.
Like
you put this up on Blog Radio, type one thing. I'm just gonna post it like as a always a core bonus or something, and
cool.
You know, as a or.
Yeah, excellent.
Beautiful. We'll call it an old record, the Lounge Simulcast. Syncast.
Simulcast.
Okay, guys, let's say goodnight, yeah.
Yeah, goodnight. Thanks, everybody.
Love you. Bye.
She confessed her love to me, then she vanished on the breeze. Trying to hold on to that was just impossible. She was more than beautiful, closer to ethereal, with a kind of down-to-earth flavor. Close my eyes, it's 3 in the afternoon. Then I realize that she's really gone for good.
Everybody, all right, bitch. Anybody see?